Discussion? Questions? Yes? Okay.
What should be removed from the staking association as opposed to being a negotiated clauses? What's the right thought process of you?
Can we do something with the amplification? Can you fix it? Just tap it? No, nothing. Tap the top. Nothing.
Oh, it's turned off. What should be removed when I'm taking association of devotees as opposed to grief for devotional service?
As opposed to?
Greed for devotional service. At least I find that I think the company greedy for devotional service, but I don't know what the real mood or thought process should be when taking association.
Well, if you can. If we're not so advanced, the word greed takes on the wrong kind of connotation. When it's advanced, it takes on the right connotation. Take another term or tone it down and say sincerity or eagerness for devotional service. In Rupa Goswami's Nectar of Devotion, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Prabhupada has given us a chapter titled Eligibility of a Candidate for Devotional Service, one of the chapters. And who is eligible? Keeping it simple. One who is eligible for devotional service who sincerely wants it. When you take that sincerely wants it, and it elevates to enthusiasm and elevated further, greed for devotional service, which is your language. But we don't have the qualification. I don't have the qualification. I don't think you have the qualification for greed for devotional service, that the complexion of that would be, my understanding, too much colored by the modes of nature. So just move it to the place where it's a sincere desire for devotional service. And the sincere desire for devotional service implied is when there's association with devotees, the purpose of that is some opportunity for some service. And the opportunity for service is abundant because by nature we're servants. So I can serve, one can serve in so many ways. One of the ways you can serve is being patient. And there may be a number of persons that want to lead the kirtan or want to wash the pots or want to do something. And be respectful. That's another service. And each thing that you do, whether it's active or just an internal positioning of your heart, that's also a service. Because you're serving Krishna, you're serving the devotees, you're serving your spiritual master, you're serving you're serving. So let that service be a pleasing service. And the operative, instead of greed, the operative adjective can be sincere. And that principle of sincerity will isolate one from sense gratification, contemplation of sense gratification, or getting recognition, or getting something. Just service that's pleasing to Krishna. And sincerely, I want that, and stay in that place. So that's how to take the association of devotees. Yes.
Maharaj, we have seen sometimes devotees slacken their devotional service when Special Master leaves the world. So I'm trying to understand what is the right kind of attachment one should have with the sadhu or Special Master.
Instructions. In one word. Associate through instructions. And that's beyond physical presence. Even when the spiritual master is physically present on the planet, and one may from time to time be in the association of the spiritual master in his physical presence. And then in physical absence, either when one is he's still on the planet or after he's gone physically from the planet, then it goes on interrupted. And even in the physical association, here's just a little Prabhupada story. The morning walk that Prabhupada would take in Vrindavan when the Krishna Balaram Mandir was built. That was my first visit, was when it was the opening of ceremony of the Krishna Balaram Mandir. And thereafter, the next few years, the same procedure, because it wasn't all built up like it is now. There weren't shops across the street. It wasn't the big traffic congestion and hoopla all over the place. It was very quiet. So he went out the front gate, made a right-hand turn, and down that road. And all the way down the road, it was just open fields. Just open fields. It wasn't all that stuff. Construction and people and horns and clamor. And it was nice. The Vrindavan. Now it looks like Delhi. So, and then it went to a place where there was a forest and went over into the forest area and walked around the forest area and then came back. So, on the way back, one morning, we could hear the kirtan from a distance, anticipating Prabhupada coming, and they were at the gate having kirtan, waiting for Prabhupada to come. And he stopped and put his cane down and looked around at those who were on the morning walk and said, "Why are there so few devotees on the morning walk?" And he wanted an answer. So someone gave, I don't remember what the answer was, and he wasn't satisfied and asked the question again, "Why are they not here?" And then he said, "When there is opportunity for personal association with the spiritual master, one should take that. One should be eager for that." And then he said, "And in the absence of the spiritual master, one should be eager for association." It fits in completely with the subject through instruction, through Vani. And then he explained Vapu and Vani. Then he went back and said, even when it's Vapu, one may wish to do some physical service for the spiritual master, but more important, even in the physical presence, is Vani. Then he repeated again, but when there is an opportunity for Vapu, one should be eager for that. Looked around and made his point, instructed us, and moved again towards the gate. return. So, when associating, vapu is most important. And in physical absence, vapu is most important. And if one is feeling, Prabhupada's explanation, if one is feeling separation from the physical presence, this is for the devotees at 26 Second Avenue. He said, the place where I sit, you can put one picture. And, you know, that became his murti in course of time. With his approval. And the placing Prabhupada's feet. Kaladri described that experience. He carried this soft clay thing and asked Prabhupada to put his feet in the soft clay so he could make a mold. And he described it, what he felt when he was pressing Prabhupada's foot and then the other foot into the soft clay to make the foot impressions. So that one can worship in that way, but worship in that way minus the instruction. Not the same. Okay. Anyone else?
There's a question online.
Question online.
The question is from me. Maharaj, why do I see that many devotees are very liberal in accepting names like Allah and Jehovah as names of God equivalent to Krishna and can be chanted, while the name of Shiva is considered as offense, although Vedic literature contains the name of Shiva, but not of Allah and Jehovah?
Well, if I've understood the question correctly, the liberality has to do with names of God as opposed to those that are not names of God. That's the distinction. It's not this scriptural source versus that scriptural source, and we like this scriptural source because it's our scriptural source. Names of God are names of God. And names that are not God, found whatever the source is, are not names of God. So they're not in the same category. The offense is to think those entities, beings, whoever they may be and their names, are on equal level with God. That's the offense and that's the concern. Not this tradition, that tradition. But names of God are not names of God. Okay, someone else had their hand up?
Maharaj, we see that many religious organizations, local chapters of religious organizations, including ISKCON, have these charitable programs like, you know, feeding poor kids or whatever. So given what we were discussing earlier about charity, how do we understand, you know,
this topic was discussed with a smaller group in a recent meeting in Juhu with a lot of energy. It was discussed. And there are persons who feel this side and persons that feel that side. This side says Prabhupada consistently wrote in a certain way, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote and spoke in a certain way. Why are we doing this? And there's another group that says, doing this is not the problem, it's the consciousness with which we do it. And we do it nicely, it brings a regard for Krishna and Krishna consciousness that enhances people to take Krishna consciousness seriously, with respect. And then the other group says, those very same resources that are deployed in this activity could be deployed in directly spreading Krishna consciousness and if we had more resources, manpower, and this goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. This side says and that side says. So I'm not going to sit here and give you a definitive answer. I can say, you know, this side says and that side says. It's certainly not primary. Here's something, here's a statement that Niranjana Maharaj made about this, to set the tone that seemed to be what that committee also accepted. I don't know if everyone accepted, but that committee accepted. He described that some devotees in the Ukraine, which is a major part of where he spends his time in his GBC service, someone approached him and said something about endorsement for their Food for Life program. The essence, I don't know if it has, maybe had another name for it, but a Food for Life program. And his reply was, this is something that's not part of my GBC portfolio. It's not, it's something that someone may wish to do. It's something they wish to do as a business or a charity in which they can also be maintained, and therefore it's, you know, it's nice, the not-for-profit something. But it's not my GBC portfolio. It's making, you know, a distinction between this and that. Somebody wants to do that or do that or do that. I don't get involved in their businesses and their charity work. They want to do that and have something that maintains them and have association of devotees. And it's nice, it's prasadam and something, but that's not what my GBC portfolio is. Something. But there's a third category. Then, you know, it's good or it's not good. It's not something that we as the position that he's taken, at least, is. It's not the position that I, as a leader of ISKCON, I'm going to get on the bandwagon of and promote it and say yes. Now, a possible model that I can see evolving is something like what the Catholic Church has done. Prabhupada spoke about, look at the model of the Catholic Church because it's endured for so many hundreds of years. They have a separation between the Catholic Church and Catholic Charities. It's a separate organization. It's not the Catholic Church. They do things. Schools and hospitals and feeding people and clothing people and things. But it's not Catholic Church. It's not against the teachings of the Catholic Church. But anyway, so Food for Life started that way. It was, you know, some people wanted to do it, and they did it, and they even gave it a new name and got it registered with the government, with agencies. But it wasn't an ISKCON thing. It was a Food for Life thing. But perhaps I can easily see things moving in that direction. If somebody wants to do that, fine. But it's different than the nine processes of bhakti. It's not against it. It's nice. It's like Prabhupada is saying in the purport here. But it's not going to bear the fruit of love of God. Okay. And when they do those things, they have kirtan. And they distribute books. And they teach people the practice of bhakti. Not only, let's say, in the Bhaktivedanta Hospital, but when they do Food for Life. So that's the argument in favor of, it's good. And then there's another argument that says, all those resources should go, were those same resources deployed directly? So, but some persons aren't ready to. But we should, you know. So it's It's this tension between Brajabihari calls it the pizzas and the pakoras, the liberals and the conservatives. And it's always going to be there. And there's the middle of the road people. They can see this side and they can see that side. And some people on this side can't see that side. Some people on that side can't see this side. There's some other people that had their hands up. So, yes? Hold it a little further away because it's too strong.
Association of children is also considered a sadhana.
Association of?
Children. Who are
chanting, children?
Yeah, who are chanting very attentively. I see some kids around here.
Really? Okay. What's your question?
So, sadhu,
is it beneficial to be in the association of children that are chanting attentively? Is that your question? Of course.
And also age also
doesn't matter. Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj. Next question. Someone, put your hand up so we know, Rusmi.
Thank you, Sadhguru. Maharaj, one of the nine process of devotional service is prayer, which is along with other processes missing in my life. The only time that they're basic to pray is by time that I have daily basis to ask for devotion. Do you recommend the standard prayer?
Prabhupada has given us a number of them. We have the Guru Vandana prayers, the prayers at Mangalarti. Yesterday at the initiation ceremony, we chanted the prayers of Lord Brahma, Shikshastakam. They're standard prayers. And we refer to them, maybe don't think of them in that way, but that's what they are. Mangalacharana, the standard prayers.
I thought they are songs.
No, they're songs, but it's a prayer. And it's a meditation in prayer to the spiritual master or to Krishna or to the... Shikshastakam is very comprehensive and short. It's both. So those... recommend. Okay? Here we go. Okay, one more online.
The question is from Kasturi Manjari Devi Dasi. She says, Guru Maharaj, when one wants to sit and hear the class, especially when one doesn't get association of spiritual master very often, and then some devotee asks you to do some service in the kitchen, what is appropriate in that situation?
Flip a coin. It depends on circumstance. It depends on the regulation that you have. It's specifically the question that's being asked here is when you don't very often or seldom have the opportunity for association and of hearing, and then you're hearing, it sounds like from the question, then a one appropriate response could be, I'll be happy to serve some other time. May I simply sit and hear the class, because I rarely get a chance to hear class. So this rare opportunity, I'd like to hear class. Please give me some kitchen service some other time. Might be an appropriate answer or response. But then it very much depends on the circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
question was that the tendency to think ourselves better than others in any way, or just look at faults of whether seniors, etc., is just predominant all the time. I have this experience during the Japan retreat. So, how do we some guidance around that? We have to be constantly aware of not thinking of ourselves superior to even the juniors, and also better than seniors in any way. Because as soon as that tendency, I feel it comes in, it just spoils everything.
Yeah. Pride spoils everything. I don't recall specific instances of Prabhupada referring to this phrase, but it's a common phrase. Pride goeth before the fall. So, certainly Prabhupada speaks of pride spoils everything. It enters into... all realms. Even when we're trying to be humble, then we can be proud that we're being humble. It's so pervasive. And then pride in terms of others who are juniors, seniors, or equals. It's material stench. It just lingers. Even when you clean the place, there's still a bad stench. So there's the what to do, and there's the positive and the negative. Cultivate a humble mood and beware of the beast called pride. And when you see, not just get out your saber and do battle with that beast, better initially just hit the reset button. Go to in a reflective mood, a little reality check. And what's my real position? And resume or restore the humble mood of service. That's protection. Better than this fighting. It's a battle. It's an unending battle. That's the solution.
Maharaj, how do we become genuine in our Krishna consciousness? In my own spiritual practice...
Little further away. Okay.
In my own spiritual life, in my Krishna consciousness, I'm really struggling to raise above the superficial platform to render heartfelt bhakti. So how do I really become genuine in my Krishna consciousness and not really operate on the superficial platform?
Well, three things. One is Prabhupada's answer. Prabhupada, how do I become sincere? Prabhupada, by being sincere. Then pause, and everyone knows what sincerity is, and everyone knows what pretense is. And we don't like pretense, and we like sincerity, so be sincere. And no further elaboration. That was Prabhupada's answer. Second, associate with those that are sincere. You understand that they're sincere, and by observing, by appreciating, not imitating, but entering into the same mood as those persons who are very sincere, it becomes, using Prabhupada's phrase, second nature. Your original nature is restored. And a third, this is Ramanujacharya describing how to develop proper quality. a desirable Vaishnava quality. One of the methods that he describes is very great personality, or some very great personalities, plural, that exhibit this quality, and hear about them, read about them, speak about them, pray to them, remember them. It's the same principle of association, but one, the prior one is those devotees who are immediately accessible, and this is someone who's vibrationally accessible. And you make that absorption, it becomes your quality. So in each of these three, there's some effort, but the effort is then connected to something that's beyond your own strength. The first one is a lot of your own strength, being sincere, being genuine. And when you start going down that path, something happens. The distinction between what's genuine and not genuine becomes shockingly obvious. That before I wasn't even recognizing that which is shocking, now shockingly obvious. And what you're expressing is something that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, it fits, that a Vaishnav principle of purification is regret. It's tapa. It's cleansing. It's purifying. I regret that I have this tendency. I regret that I carry this contamination or imperfection, the shortcoming. And don't just dwell in the regret. You have to go to something positive. So then you cultivate the positive. Invest here and withdraw consciousness from there. And gradually tendency can change. But then the other two are where strength is coming from other sources as well, beyond your own strength of effort. Who's got the microphone?
Maharaj, there's a follow-up question online.
Okay.
From you. Yes, Maharaj said it's not one tradition versus another for names of God. Then why the name of Shiva is not considered as name of God, although Shiva is described as Parabrahman in many parts of Vedic literature, including Mahabharata and Bhagavata?
I don't know what that reference is. I know what our acharyas say. And based upon what I know our acharyas say, Lord Shiva is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. End of discussion. I have to see this reference that says something the person is saying that I don't know what the reference is.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I was thinking about one of the slides you showed today in the morning about Bhishma Pitamaha.
About?
Bhishma Pitamaha.
Yeah, okay.
And we know that he is a Mahajan.
Yeah.
And we also know, what the question I'm coming to is that we also know that karma is not eternal. And I have heard one of the stories about him that in his previous life, he killed snake on the burning grass field or something. That is why he went through that much of pain. But then again, the same thing, that karma is not eternal. And Krishna said, you surrender unto me and I will take care of everything. So why did he, or maybe what can we learn, or how can we see that thing that he has gone through so much of pain at the last time?
Response number one. Be very careful where you hear from, because you could just hear garbage. and take it, oh, look at this garbage. So, I don't know where this Puranic or other something reference comes from. And when I hear those things, I don't pay attention to them at all. Because unless you know where it's coming from, that it's coming from an authentic source, don't pay attention. That's first point. And what can you do about things that you heard when you were a little girl? Or, you know, so many... But that, you know, same thing for all of us. I heard so many things. Just, I don't place value in those so many things. I don't pay attention to those so many things. It doesn't occupy my consciousness, those so many things. Something else occupies my consciousness. So that's how to deal with things that you had heard in the past. And going into the future, just when somebody starts a little, you know, anecdotal or Puranic story that you've not heard before, you just, you know, excuse me for a moment, but where is this, what's the source of this? And then, I don't know, I just heard it when I was little, or I read it in a Chitra.